Chapter 20. Aboard the steamer Fever Dream, Mississippi River, August 1857. Raymond and Armand were supporting Dame Julian between them when Sour Billy leaped down from the paddle box. Julian looked like he'd slaughtered a pig. His clothing was soaked through with blood.
"You allowed him to escape, Billy," he said coldly. His tone made Sour Billy nervous.
"He's finished," Billy insisted. "Them paddles will suck him under and smash him, or he'll drown. You ought to have seen the splash he made when he hit the water, that big belly of his first. Ain't gonna have to look at his warts no more."
As he spoke, Sour Billy was looking around, and he didn't like what he saw, not one bit. Julian, all bloody, a red, smeary trail leading down the Texas stairs and halfway down the hurricane deck, and that dandy of a clerk hanging off the end of the Texas porch, more blood coming out of his mouth.
"If you fail me, Billy, you will never be as we are," Julian said. "I hope he is dead for your sake. Do you understand?"
"Yes," said Billy. "Mr. Julian, what happened?"
"They attacked me, Billy. They attacked us. According to the good captain, they killed Jean. Bashed his goddamn head to pieces. I believe that was the phrase." He smiled. "Marsh and his wretch of a clerk and someone named Mike were responsible."
"Harry Mike Dunn," said Raymond Ortega. "He is the mate of the Fever Dream, Damon. Large, stupid, and uncouth. It is his job to shout at the darkies and beat them."
"Ah," Julian said.
"Let me go," he said to Raymond and Armand.
"I feel stronger now. I can stand."
The twilight had deepened. They stood in shadow.
"Damon,"
warned Vincent, "the watch will change at supper. Crewmen will be coming up to their cabins. We must do something. We must get off this steamer, or they will find us out." He looked at the blood, the body.
"No," said Julian. "Billy will clean it up, won't you, Billy?"
"Yes," said Sour Billy. "I'll just toss the clerk in after his cap'n."
"Do it then, Billy, instead of telling me about it."
Julian's smile was cold.
"And then come to York's cabin. We will retire there now. I need a change of clothes."
It took Sour Billy Tipton nearly 20 minutes to remove the evidence of the death on the Texas. He worked in haste, all too aware of how easy it would be for someone to come out of his cabin or up the stairs. The darkness was almost complete by then, however, which helped. He dragged Jeffers' body down the deck, hauled it up on the paddle box with some difficulty — the clerk was heavier than Billy ever would have guessed — and shoved it over. The night and the river swallowed it, and the splash wasn't nearly as big as the one Marsh had made. It was almost lost in the sound of the paddle wheels. Sour Billy had just stripped off his shirt and started cleaning up the blood when he had a stroke of luck. The storm that had been coming all afternoon finally broke. Thunder boomed in his ears, lightning came stabbing down at the river, and the rains began. Clean, cold, pounding rains, smashing down onto the deck, soaking Billy through to his bones, and washing away the blood. Sour Billy was dripping when he finally entered Joshua York's cabin, his once fine shirt a damp ball in his hand.
"It's done," he said.
Damon Julian was sitting in a deep leather chair. He had changed into some fresh clothing, had a drink in hand, and looked as strong and healthy as ever. Raymond was standing at his side, Armand was in the other chair, Vincent was seated on the desk, Kurt in the desk chair. And Joshua York sat on his bed, staring down at his feet, head sunk, his skin white as chalk dust. He looked like a whipped cur, thought Sour Billy.
"Ah, Billy," said Julian, "whatever would we do without you?"
Sour Billy nodded.
"I've been thinking while I was out there, Mr. Julian," he said. "The way I figure, we got two choices. This here steamer has a yawl for doing soundings and such. We could take her and light out. Or now the storm's broke, we could just wait till the pilot ties her up, then get ashore. We ain't far from Bayou Sarah. Maybe we'll put in there."
"I have no interest in Bayou Sarah, Billy. I have no interest in leaving this excellent steamboat. The Fever Dream is ours now. Isn't that right, Joshua?"
Joshua York raised his head.
"Yes," he said.
His voice was so weak it was hardly audible.
"It's too dangerous," Sour Billy insisted. "The captain and the head clerk both gone. What are people going to think? They're going to be missed. Questions are going to get asked real soon now, too."
"He is right, Damon," Raymond put in.
I have been aboard this steamer since Natchez. The passengers may come and go, but the crew, we are in danger here. We are the strange ones, suspected, unknown. When Marsh and Jeffers are missed, they will look to us first.
And then there's this mate, added Billy. If he helped Marsh, he knows everything, Mr. Julian.
Kill him, Billy.
Sour Billy Tipton swallowed uneasily.
Suppose I do kill him, Mr. Julian. Won't do no good. He'll be missed, too. And there's others under him, a whole damn army of niggers and dumb Germans and big Swedes. We got less than 20, and during the day there's only me. We gotta get off this steamboat and real quick, too. We can't fight the crew, and even if we could, I sure can't fight them all alone by myself. We gotta go.
We are staying. It is for them to fear us, Billy. How can you ever be one of the masters if you still think as a slave? We are staying.
What will we do when Marsh and Jeffers are found gone? Asked Vincent.
And what about the mate? He is a threat, said Kurt.
Damon Julian stared at Sour Billy and smiled.
Ah, he said.
He sipped his drink.
Why, we will let Billy take care of these little problems for us. Billy will show us how clever he is. Won't you, Billy?
Me?
Sour Billy Tipton stood open-mouthed.
I don't know. Won't you, Billy?
Yes, Billy said quickly. Yes.
I can solve this without further bloodshed, Joshua York said, with a hint of his old resolve in his voice. I am still captain aboard this steamer. Let me discharge Mr. Dunn and any of the others that you may fear. We can get them off the fever dream cleanly. There has been enough death.
Has there? Asked Julian.
Firing them won't work, Sir Billy said to York. They'll only wonder why and demand to see Captain Marsh.
Yes, agreed Raymond. They don't follow York, he added to Julian. They don't trust him. He had to come out in broad daylight before any of them would agree to go down the bayou with him. With Marsh gone and Jeffers too, he will never be able to control them.
Sour Billy Tipton looked at Joshua York with surprise and new respect.
You did that? He blurted. Went out by day?
The others sometimes dared the dusk, or lingered a short time after sunrise, but he had never seen any of them come out when the sun was high, not even Julian.
Joshua York looked at him coldly and did not answer.
Dear Joshua likes to play at being cattle, Julian said, amused. Perhaps he hoped his skin would turn brown and leathery.
The others laughed politely. While they were laughing, Sour Billy got himself an idea. He scratched his head and let himself smile.
We won't fire them, he said suddenly to Julian. I know. We'll make them run off. I know just how to do it.
Good, Billy. Whatever would we do without you?
Can you make him do like I tell him?
Billy asked, jerking a thumb in York's direction.
I will do what I must to protect my people, Joshua York said, and to protect my crew as well. There is no need for compulsion.
Well, well, said Sour Billy. Real nice.
This was going to be even easier than he'd figured. Julian would be real impressed.
I gotta go get me a new shirt. You get dressed, Mr. Cap'n York, and then we'll do us some protectin'.
Yes, Julian added softly.
And Kurt will go with you as well. He raised his glass to York.
Just in case.
A half hour later, Sour Billy led Joshua York and Kurt down to the boiler deck. The rain had let up a little, and the fever dream had put in at Bayou Sarah and was tied up next to a dozen smaller steamers. In the main saloon, supper had been served. Julian and his people were in there with the rest, eating inconspicuously. The captain's chair was empty, though, and someone was bound to comment sooner or later. Fortunately, Hairy Mike Dunn was down below on the main deck, bellowing at the rousters as they loaded up some freight and a dozen cords of wood. Sour Billy had watched him carefully from above before starting in on his plan. Dunn was the dangerous one.
The body first, Sour Billy said, leading them straight to the outer door of the cabin where Jean Ardon had met his end.
Kurt broke the lock with a single swing of his hand. Inside, Billy lit the lamp, and they took in the thing on the bed.
Sour Billy Tipton whistled.
Well, well, he said. Those friends of yours sure did a job on old Jean, he said to York. Half his brains is on the sheets and half is on the wall.
York's grey eyes were full of disgust. Get on with it, he said.
I suppose you want us to throw the body in the river.
Hell no, said Sour Billy. Why, we're going to burn this body right down in one of your furnaces, Cap'n, and we're not sneaking it down neither. We'll just go right on out into the saloon with it and down the main staircase.
Why, Billy? York said coldly.
Just do it, Sour Billy snapped, and I'm Mr. Tipton to you, Captain.
They wrapped Jean's corpse in a sheet so nothing could be seen of it. York went to help Cut lift it, but Sour Billy chased him off and took up the other end himself.
Wouldn't look right for a half-owner and Cap'n to be toting a dead man. You just walk along with us and look worried.
York didn't have trouble with the looking worried part. They opened the door to the grand saloon and went out, Jean's sheeted body between Billy and Kurt. The supper table was half full. Someone gasped and all conversation stopped.
"Can I help, Captain York?"
asked a small man with white whiskers and oil stains on his vest.
"What is it? Somebody die?" "Stay away," Sour Billy shouted when the man took a step toward them.
"Do as he says, Whitey," York said. The man stopped.
"Why, sure, but it's just a dead man," Sour Billy said. "Died in his cabin. Mr. Jeffers found him. He got on at New Orleans, must have been sick. He was burning up when Jeffers heard him moaning."
Everyone at the table looked concerned. One man turned very pale and fled towards his own stateroom. Sour Billy made certain not to smile.
"Where's Mr. Jeffers?" asked Albright, the trim little pilot.
"Went to his cabin," Billy said quickly. "He wasn't feeling good. Marsh is with him. Mr. Jeffers was looking kind of yaller. I reckon seeing a man die didn't agree with him."
His words had the effect he'd figured on, especially when Armand leaned across the table to Vincent and said, in a loud whisper like Billy had told him to,
"Bronze John."
Then the two of them got up and left, their suppers half eaten.
"It ain't Bronze John," Billy said loudly.
He had to say it loudly, because all of a sudden everybody at this table was trying to talk, and half of them were getting to their feet.
"We gotta go burn this body. Come on now," he added, and he and Kurt started shuffling toward the grand staircase again.
Joshua York lingered behind, hands upraised, trying to fend off 100 frightened questions. Passengers and crew alike avoided Kurt and Billy and their burden. A couple of scroungy-looking foreigners taking deck passage were the only ones down on the main deck, except for the rousters coming in and out with crates and firewood. The furnaces had been shut down, but they were still hot, and Sour Billy burned his fingers when he and Kurt stuffed the sheeted body into the nearest one. He was still swearing and shaking his hand in the air when Joshua York came down and found him again.
"They're leaving," York said, his pale features puzzled.
"Nearly all the passengers are already packing their bags, and half the crew must have come up to me to ask for their wages. Strikers, chambermaids, waiters, even Jack Eli, the second engineer. I don't understand."
"Bronze John has taken a ride up the river on your steamer," Sour Billy Tipton said. "Leastwise, that's what they think."
Joshua York frowned.
"Bronze John?"
Sour Billy smiled.
"Yellow fever, Cap'n. I can tell you never been in New Orleans when Bronze John made a call. Ain't nobody gonna stay on this boat longer than he has to, nor look close at this body, nor go talk with Jeffers or Marsh. I let 'em think they got the fever, you see. The fever is real catching, fast, too. You turn yaller and heave up black stuff and burn like the devil, and then you die. Only now we better burn up old Jean here so they think we're taking this serious."
It took them 10 minutes to get the furnace going again, and they finally had to call over the big Swedish fireman to help them, but that was all right. Sour Billy saw his eyes when he spied the body crammed in with the wood, and smiled at how fast he ran off. Pretty soon Jean was going good. Sour Billy watched him smoke, then turned away, bored. He noticed the barrels of lard standing near to hand.
"Use that for racing, do you?" he asked Joshua York.
York nodded.
Sour Billy spat. "Down here, when a captain gets into the race and needs some more steam, he just has him chucking a nice fat nigger. Lard's too expensive. See, I know something about steamers, too. Too bad we couldn't save Jean for a race."
Kurt smiled at that, but Joshua York only stared, glowering. Sour Billy didn't like that look, not one bit. But before he could say anything, he heard the voice he'd been waiting for.
"You!"
Harry Mike Dunn came swaggering in from the forecastle, all 6 foot of him. Rain was dripping off the wide brim of his black felt hat, and moisture beaded his black whiskers, and his clothes were stuck to his body.
His eyes were hard little green marbles, and he had his iron club in hand, smacking it up against his palm threateningly. Behind him stood a dozen deckhands, stokers and roustabouts. The big Swede was there, and an even bigger nigger with one ear, and a wiry mulatto with a 2x4, and a couple of guys with knives. The mate came closer, and the others followed him.
"Who you burning there, boy?" he roared. "What's all this about yaller fever? Ain't no yaller fever on this boat."
"Do like I told you," Sour Billy said to York in a low, urgent voice. He backed away from the furnace as the mate advanced. Joshua York stepped between them and raised his hands. "Stop," he said. "Mr. Dunn, I'm discharging you here and now. You are no longer mate of the Fever Dream."
Dunn eyed him suspiciously.
"I ain't," he said.
Then he grimaced.
"Hell, you ain't firing me.
I am the master and captain here.
Is ya? Well, I takes orders from Cap'n Marsh. He tells me to get, I get. Till then, I stay. And don't tell me no lies about buying him out. I heard them lies this morning."
He took another step forward.
"Now, you get out of the way, Cap'n. I'm gonna get me some answers from Mr. Sour Billy here.
Mr. Dunn, there is sickness aboard this steamer. I am discharging you for your own safety." Joshua York lied with real nice sincerity, Sour Billy thought.
"Mr. Tipton will be the new mate. He's already been exposed."
"Him?"
The iron billet smacked against the mate's palm.
"He ain't no steamboater." "Been an overseer," Billy said. "I can handle niggers."
He moved forward again. Hairy Mike Dunn laughed. Sour Billy felt cold all over. If there was one thing in the world that he could not stand, it was being laughed at. Right then and there, he decided not to scare Dunn off after all. Killing him would be much nicer.
"You got all them niggers and white trash behind you," he said to the mate. "Looks to me like you're scared to face me by yourself."
Dunn's green eyes narrowed dangerously, and he smacked his club into his palm even harder than before. He came forward 2 quick steps into the full glare of the furnace and stood there, awash in the hellish glow, peering in at the burning corpse. Finally he turned to face Sour Billy again.
"Only him in there," he said. "That's good for you. If it had been the Cap'n or Jeffers, I was going to break every bone in your body before I killed you. Now I'm just going to kill you right off."
"No," Joshua York said. He stepped in front of the mate again. "Get off my steamer," he said. "You're discharged."
Hairy Mike Dunn shoved him out of the way.
"Stay out of this, Cap'n. Fair fight just me and him. If he whips me, he's mate. Only I'm going to bash his head in, and then you and me'll go and find Cap'n Marsh and see who leaves this here steamboat."
Sour Billy reached behind him and pulled out his knife. Joshua York looked from one to the other in despair. The other men had all drawn back now and were calling out encouragement to Hairy Mike. Kurt moved forward smoothly and pulled York out of the way to keep him from interfering. Bathed in the furnace light, Hairy Mike Dunn looked like something straight out of hell, smoke curling up around him, his skin flushed and reddish, the water drying on his hair, his club smacking against his palm as he advanced. He smiled.
"I fought boys with knives before," he said, punctuating his words with smacks.
"Lots of dirty little boys.
Smack. I've been cut before, too.
Smack.
Cuts heal up. Sorry, Billy.
Smack.
Bust heads. That's another thing."
Smack.
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 Billy had been steadily retreating until his back came up hard against a stack of crates. The knife was loose in his hand. Hairy Mike saw him cornered and grinned, raising the iron billet high overhead. He came forward, roaring. And Sour Billy Tipton tossed the knife in his hand and sent it slicing through the air. It caught Hairy Mike right under his chin, driving up through his whiskers and into his head. He went to his knees, and blood came pouring out of his mouth, and then he pitched forward onto the deck.
"Well, well,"
Sour Billy said, sauntering over to the body.
He kicked it in the head and smiled for the niggers and the foreigners and for Kurt, but mostly for Joshua York.
"Well, well," he repeated. "Guess that makes me mate."